If you've done any traveling at all, you've run into buskers. You know, some guys playing Bob Dylan on the Charles Bridge in Prague, or a group playing Andean flute music in the subways of Paris. Rick Steves thinks travel can change the world, but how about busking? Can playing music on the streets for money change the world? Mark Johnson thinks so. He's been traveling around the world for years recording buskers, and not just recording them, but editing them together into a kaleidoscopic mix of street musicians in different countries, on different continents, all singing the same song. Johnson calls his project Playing for Change. He told Steve Paulson the whole thing started when he heard a street musician playing Stand By Me on a corner in his hometown.
About 5 years ago, I was walking on the streets in Santa Monica, California, where I live, and I heard the voice of Roger Ridley singing the song Stand By Me. I think I was a couple of blocks away from him, and I ran over to catch this performance, and the guy just had so much soul and emotion in his voice that I watched this performance, and then I just walked up to him, and I said, hey, if I come back with some recording equipment and cameras, I'd love to take the song around the world, put headphones on musicians everywhere, and add them to the song. And he looked at me like I was crazy, but he said, all right, if you come back, I'll play it.
This song says, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you.
And I said, Roger, you know, with a voice like yours, what are you doing out on the street? And he said, man, you know, I'm in the joy business. I like to bring joy to people. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever, you know? The best version of Stand By Me with so much soul and emotion with a man in the joy business is a great way to go out and try to connect people. And that was the start of the whole process.
No matter where you go in life, you gonna need somebody to stand by you.
So you recorded Roger playing the song, and then you went to travel around the world and played what he did for other musicians and then recorded on top of that?
Yeah, exactly. So the next place I came to was New Orleans after Katrina, and put headphones on Grandpa Elliot, and he would listen to Roger singing and playing, and then he would sing his own verse on top of that song.
And the land is dark, and that moon is the only light we see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't shed one tear just as long as your people come and stand by me.
And then I would go to the Zuni Indians, 10 Indians around a drum in the desert, and they would all listen to Roger and Grandpa, and they would play the drum on top of it, and so on around the world.
This is just an extraordinary collection of musicians you've put together. How did you find all these people?
Well, a lot of it was just spontaneous. I mean, a project like this that comes from people. So a lot of times I just had a roadmap where I knew I wanted to get as many different cultures, religions, races, political point of views, economic status, get as many different people as possible to play songs together. And so based on that, I wanted to pick a lot of different locations. And then I would just sort of show up with a small crew with that iPod video and positive intentions and just find people that would then play it for the other friends. And it would just kind of grew organically like that.
So you would just start traveling around in the middle of South Africa just looking for musicians who might be able to record on this record?
You know, that's exactly right.
That sounds amazing, I have to say. It accounts for great faith in your ability to find these people.
I knew that there's great music all over the world, and I knew that if I had enough different songs, I could find ways of incorporating all different styles. So, for example, in One Love, there's a steel guitar player in New Orleans playing with a sitar player in Kathmandu, Nepal. And those two instruments are very different but have such a similar aesthetic. So I knew that I could kind of find ways to create new combinations of sounds. So I had enough material and enough faith in humanity and in music to go out there and make something that we could all be proud of.
Now, what you've done is you not only recorded the audio of these songs, for a lot of them, you took a film crew around as well. I mean, all around the world and recorded
right.
people doing this. And it's amazing. I mean, this just blows people away. I know it's been hugely successful on YouTube, and I mean, it moves people to tears. Did you know what you were tapping into?
I think that there was a day where we stopped calling it a film or an album and started calling it a movement. And I think that that's when we realized the depth of something like this, because, you know, it gets to the music, gets to the sentiment behind the words. A lot of times, as beautiful as a religion or political things might be, they often divide people. And music just has a way of transcending any of our differences and helping us be a part of something bigger than ourselves. I started to see it on the faces of the musicians and on their families as we were traveling around the world. And just also, I think a lot of the viral success comes from the fact that the world does want to come together, and this is a great way to do it.
Some places that have had a lot of political unrest, so even civil wars. I mean, you went to the Middle East, to Southern Africa, to Nepal. Did you ever find yourself in trouble?
Well, it was interesting. Like the closest we came to danger became one of the strongest moments to send us to kind of give us strength for the project. We were recording musicians on the streets in Soweto, South Africa. For a long time, that had been the murder capital of the world. And like I said, I would use my iPod video to kind of get people excited about the project or to get them aware of it. And I saw these two guys when I was recording on the street watching us, and I thought they were with our crew. So I walked up to them and I handed them two sets of headphones and an iPod video, and they look at me funny and they watch the video. And at the end, they were very excited and they gave it back to me. And my friend came over to me and he said, "Just so you know, those were the gangsters. And normally they would have robbed you and taken your iPod. But after seeing what you're doing, they told me to tell you they've got your back while you're here, you're safe, and they love what you're doing." And I think that that's when we realized that, you know, we may be naive, but it's more naive to think we got any other choice than using music to connect people. So this is about the human race. This isn't about each of our divisions. This is about our connections. So there's no reason everybody shouldn't be a part of this.
Not everyone on this CD is a street musician. You have Bono on the CD
right.
as well. How did he get involved?
Bono heard about the project from our partner, Norman Lear, one of the greatest men in the world who, you know, has done so much to help this project and help us get it out to the world. So Norman had played the videos for Bono, and he was really moved by them. And then towards the end of the project, you know, we were doing songs like Stand By Me and One Love around the world. But we also noticed, look, there's a lot of problems in the world. It's not all about just singing happy songs. I mean, there's poverty, there's war, there's crime, there's terrible prejudice. So we need to, as a human race, we got to go from the darkness to the light. We can use music to lift us up as well, not just to celebrate. So that's when we chose Bob Marley's War, No More Trouble, because the song speaks of why there's war in the world and then says, we don't need any more war. What we need is love. And on that song, we had musicians from all conflict regions. So Zimbabwe and Congo and Israel and Palestine and Catholic Protestant Children's Choir. And when Bono heard that, he was really, really moved by it. And so we just said, hey, listen, we would really love you to sing on this song, help us spread the message. And he was incredibly humble and appreciative and said, okay, come to Dublin and I'll play on the song.
Until there are no longer first class, second class citizens of any nation. Until the color of man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, everywhere is war.
War.
Everywhere is war.
Killing a brother,
music really change the world?
Music can and is changing the world and may be the only thing that can. I mean, I would throw in there laughter and inspiration. But those are the things that connect us as a human race, and those are the things that make a difference, certainly in a positive way. So I do believe that music is changing the world every day.
Well, this is just an amazing project and incredibly inspiring. thank you.
Yeah, I can't thank you enough for letting me talk about it. We don't need,
Mark Johnson's movement is called Playing for Change. Steve Paulson spoke with him. The Playing for Change version of Stand By Me is the number one rated YouTube video of all time, with over 20 million views. To see it yourself, visit our website at ttbook.org.